Shalom Aleichem, good evening, everybody. We haven't learned B'chorvis in quite a while. I'm not sure exactly what's the last topic we discussed, but I think we're up to the Mishnah on Nun Beis Amid Beis, the last Mishnah in Perek Yesh B'chor. This Perek started off and with the dinim that sometimes there's a B'chor who gets Pishnayim, and sometimes there's a b'chor who needs pidyon ben, and it's not always the same person. So we went through all the dinim, most of the dinim of pidyon ben appear in this perek. So the Mishnah says that the b'chor is entitled to pishnaim, a double portion. Double portion doesn't, pishnaim doesn't mean two-thirds. Pishnaim means, let's say, the man dies and he leaves five sons, so we treat it as if he had six sons. If the oldest one is the b'chor, if he was the first, if a daughter was born first, so the daughter doesn't get pishnaim, and the next son to be born also doesn't get pishnaim. Nobody is a b'chor l'nachlo. But if he only has sons, so the oldest son is entitled to pishnaim. So now the Mishnah discusses what kind of halacha is that he gets pishnaim. He treated, let's say he has five sons, instead of dividing the Yerusha into five parts and everyone gets an equal share, so he divided it into six parts and B'chor gets two-sixths. He doesn't always get two-thirds. If there are only two sons, Yaakov and Esav, and one is a B'chor and one is a Pashut, so you consider it as if there were three sons, then the B'chor gets two-thirds. Instead of getting one half, he gets two-thirds. But he doesn't always get two-thirds. If he has 10 sons, he's considered as if he had 11 sons. B'chor gets 2/11. Yeah. So the question is, the expression of the pasuk is, as B'chor ben asnoa yakir loses lo pishnaim. He should give him the pishnaim. So do we treat it like Yerusha? Or do we say, no, it's like a matona. Loses lo pishnaim. The Torah calls it a matona. So the Gemara says, and Yesh Nachlan, the Gemara says there's a major difference between Yerusha and Mechira in Matana. By Mechira in Matana, I want to give you a Matana, I want to sell something to you. So you have to agree. You have to be maskim to acquire ownership. I can't force ownership on you. But when I die, my children get the Yerusha Bal Korcham, even if they don't want it. Yerusha is Bal Korcham. Whenever I give a matana, whenever I give a mechira, so originally I was the bailim, and when I make a kinyan with you, that you should receive the gift of the matana, the karka, the metaltalim, whatever it happens to be, you should acquire it. So you have to have two steps. First, you have to be moitziat meshus marakama, then you have to be machnesit into the reshus of the morabasra. You make the makabal matana, or the koina, the lakech, has to make a kinyan. So that accomplishes the two steps, motzi from the Rishus Marakama and machnas into the Rishus of the Marabasra. When you have a Yerusha, it goes even Bal Korcha, you're not motzi from the Rishus Marakama. The din is, for example, there's a din of Yush. There's an institution of Yush. The original pasuk of Yush is by Hashavas Aveda. If a person lost an Aveda, and somebody else finds it, so the Moitzi Aveda has to give it back to the original owner, to the rightful owner. What happens if the one who lost the Aveda gives up hope? He lost it so long ago, he's looking, can't find it, he's not going to look forever. So he's Messiah, gives up hope of ever finding it. And then after he's Messiah from it, then someone else finds it. So the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, HaKol HaAveda Sachich HaShatoyimu HuZeh. It says, Imshorim Chamor Imse Imsimlo. So the Gemara asks, why do you need so many different Mishorim Imshorim Chamor Imse Imsimlo? The Masimlo Miyachadu Sheishla Simonim Yeshla Tovim. A Simlo, in the days of the Tanakh, they didn't have factories like we have today, where they can manufacture 5,000 dresses exactly the same size, exactly the same design, everything exactly the same size and the same design. In the days of the Tanakh, every suit, every piece of clothing had to be made to fit for this particular person. So no two suits were the same. So every simla had simonim, and in hatovim, the guy's not going to give up. The owner who lost it is not going to give up hope of finding it because his suit is unique. No two suits are the same. No two jackets, no two pairs of pants are the same. So because it has simonim, that's why the fellow's not going to give up hope. So based on that pasuk, the Gemara understands there's an institution of yush. Tosis points out in Baba Kama that yush and hefker are two different things. Learned that from two different psukim. It's a Tosis in Perek Meruba in the seventh Perek. Hefker is based on the pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, so everything was hefker up for grabs. And then Adam Rishon grabbed a lot. He acquired ownership. Adam Rishon died a long time ago, several thousand years ago. So everything in the world was probably already, somebody made a kinyan. Every stretch of land, every tree, everything already belongs to somebody. So how do you know that you can restore it back to its original pristine state of being hefker? When the Rebbe Shalom created the world, everything was hefker. And up for grabs, kol ha-kodim zocha, whoever will make a kinyan will acquire ownership. After someone already acquired ownership and he wants to get rid of it, how do you know there's such a thing? I can give it by matana, I can sell it to someone else, but can I be mafker it and it'll return back to its original state? So that's lined up in the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim where it says, Hashviyas, whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael, Shnas Hashmita, Tishmetena Unetashta, Baruch Lev Yoni Hamecha, everything, Tishmetena means the farmer should be mafker it. He should declare it as hefker. So why does it say twice, Tishmetena Unetashta? So that's a big machlokes, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and Kol HaTorah Kula, but a Dibur Torah K'lashon Bnei Adam, a lot Dibur Torah K'lashon Bnei Adam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash for Moshe Rabbeinu, we assume he dictated it word for word, letter for letter. Because sometimes we medayek that there's an extra word, there's a missing word, there's an extra letter, there's a missing letter. A word is sometimes spelled Malay, sometimes spelled Chaser. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu decided when to write it Chaser or Malay. Because Baruch Hu dictated everything word for word and letter for letter. So that's a machleg, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Did he dictate it in the language that human beings speak? When people talk, they always throw in extra words. They repeat themselves more than once. They repeat things many times over. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel has. Dibbetor Kedushan Miriadim. You have the Shinas Kfulim. You have sometimes a phrase is repeated, Tishmetena Unetashta. Sometimes the phrase is repeated, doesn't mean anything according to Rabbi Shmuel. You have no right to darshan anything. You have a lot of times, Pasach, Tiptach, Anik, Tanik, Nosen, Titein, Sokol, Yisokel, Mos, Yumas. So that's a big machleg. Rabbi Shmuel says there's no room for a drasha there. The Torah repeats things, and you don't have to be medayik every single word. And we have not accepted Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. We have accepted Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Lo dibur Torah k'lishon miyadam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't say any extra words or extra phrases. Every phrase has a significance and a meaning. And if a word is repeated, yidarshan l'shon is kfulim. That's a machlekes. That shaila depends on the machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. If dibur Torah k'lishon miyadam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu the way people speak, so you have no right to darshan anything from the fact that the word is repeated. So we assume like Rabbi Akiva, so we also always darshan l'shen eskul. So why does it say tishmetena unetashta? You should be mafke the peris that grow mishnas hashmita. So the Rishalmi says in Peya, tishmetena, you should be mafke the peris unetashta. All 7 years of the shmita cycle, if you want to, you can be mafke whatever you want to be mafke. Doesn't necessarily have to be the berries that grew in Eretz Yisrael. You can be mafka karka, you can be mafka metaltalim, and it'll return back to its original state of being ownerless, like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, everything was ownerless. So that's the mocker. That pasuk tishmetena onetashta is the mocker for the institution of hefker. Just like I have the ability to be makna something to someone else if the other one is in the mood of accepting a gift, or he wants to buy it from me, he wants to pay for it. So too, I can be a mafke manichosim, I can be maknet away from myself. And Yush is a totally different din. Yush is based on the pasuk. Kol avedas achicha shatav man umitzase im sharach amar im simla salmo kol avedas achicha. So in each one of the words that's mentioned, the Chumash teaches me another Shar Hamaseh HaSimla. Each word teaches me a lesson in Hilchas HaShabbos Aveda. So the Gemara in Bavi Metzia and Ela Metzia says, Masimla Miyuchedes, Sheyesh LeSimonim Veyesh LeTovim, no two jackets in the days of the Gemara. No, in the days of the Tanakh, no two suits and no two dresses are going to be exactly alike. Each one is going to be unique. Everything is unique because they didn't have machines that could shoot off 5,000 exactly the same print and the same, everything exactly the same size. So that pasuk teaches in the din of Yesh Lo Tovim that if the person lost an Aveda, if he's Misyashvam, he's Mashlim, the Shem Avud, and when something is Avud, it can't have an ownership. That's a Gemara, the Chazon Ish quotes, that's a Gemara, the first daf and the last perik in Chulin, perik Shiloh HaKan, where the Gemara says, if someone was Magdish chickens, and said the Gizba Shal Hegdish has the chickens, and then they run away, and the Gizberg starts chase after them, and he can't retrieve them. They ran away. So the Gemara says, Tarnagoyla Shemordo, someone was Magdish the Tarnagoylas, and the Gizbar has it. Let's say he gave it to Bedek HaBayis. So the Gizbar is supposed to auction it off to the highest bidder and take the money and keep it for Hegdish purposes. The Gemara says, Tarnagoyla Shemordo, if it ran away from the Gizbar, Pakok Dushasa. Why Pakok Dushasa? So Tesa says, because leave out Hegdish. Let's say I own a Tarnagoylas. I bought a hen. And the Tanagoilus runs away from me, from the owner, and I can't retrieve it. So Tesis says it becomes ownerless. That's what the Chazon Ish says. What's the klal that you get from that Gemara? What's the klal that you derive? He said, he words it like this, Nechosim Shemordu al Balehem. If they, my property, let's say the British government was kind of the United States. So it belonged to the British, but then the United States made a war of independence. They declared that they don't want to belong, they don't want to pay tax to England, they want to be independent. So there was Nechosim Shemar Da Balehem, so England lost their ownership. Since the Nechosim Shemar Da Balehem, and England can't retrieve. If they were Shemar Da Balehem, they want to run away, and the owner retrieves them, so he doesn't lose his ownership. The Shemar Da Balehem, the Americans declared their independence, and England was not able to prevent it. There was a whole war, the Revolutionary War, and the English lost the war. The Americans won the war. So that's the klal from the Gemara. Nechosim shemar da baleihem. The Balaam lose their ownership on it. So that's exactly what you should. That's what the Chazon Ish says. That's what Rav Soloveitchik says. Says once his father and his uncle were learning together, Avelvela, with his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, they were learning together, and then after a long discussion, they came to the maskana that Hefker and Yush are very different from each other. Hefker has to be Shaliyah Bishusi, the Gemara says. I have to be the full Bailam on the property, and just like if I'm a full Bailam, I have the ability to be Magdashit and to be Mocherit and to be give it b'matana, so do I have the ability to be mafkirit? That's a hakno midas. I'm maknid away from myself and I make it hefkid. But Yush is not a hakno midas. Yush is a sort of a state of mind. The object is lost, but it's avurim imenu mitzuya itzel kolodim. The din is, let's say, there was a hurricane or a tornado and my automobile disappeared and it lands up in Kentucky or in Alabama or something. I didn't know where it was for days. I gave up hope of ever finding it. So that's avurim. Even if I didn't give up hope, even if the Gemara said, even if you didn't miss Yahish Raman, that's the din. That avurim imenu mikol adam, it got lost. Bezutu shal yam, v'shleilusa shal nohar. There was a flood, a major flood. There was a major hurricane or tornado, and my automobile was floated away down the river, or was because of the powerful winds, so it landed up somewhere else, I don't know where it is. So whenever something is really avud b'menu mikol adam, then you lose your ownership. Even if it's only avud b'menu mitzuya itzu kol adam. I lost my glasses, I don't remember where I put them. I'm looking high and low, I can't find it. So I give up hope of ever finding it. So when I am misyayish, I'm mashlim nishem avud, and an object that's avud can't have bailam, That's the lashon of the Chazon Ish. Nechasim shemar da'ab aleihem. So the bailus is pakas. It's really very different. Hefker and Yish are very different. So there's an interesting Gemara in Bava Kamma. The original pasuk of Yish is by an aveda. When the simla, masimla mechedesh, yeshla simonim, yeshla tovim. The owner didn't give up hope because it has simonim on it. He's going to look for it. He's going to find it. But if he's mesiyash from it, then it becomes ownerless. And the Gemara has a shaila. What about Yish by a geneva? A ganav stole something. And the ganav is mechuyev to give it back, but he's not interested in giving it back. That's why he stole it. He doesn't plan to give it back. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. Do you carry over this din? And just like Yush, if the Baal HaAveda is mesiyash from the Aveda, he loses ownership of it. So the Baal the Nignav gives up hope of ever finding, they stole my automobile. So we didn't know where it was for a couple of days. And then the police called us up and they told us they found it. They know where it is. Right. So when they stole it, if the Nignav gives up hope of ever finding his automobile, that's a machlokes in the Gemara, where the Yush alone makes it into Hefker or not. So we pass on you need Yush Vishina Vishus. So what's this Yush Vishina Vishus? So if the Nignav gave up hope of finding it, and then the ganav either gives it b'matana to someone else or sells it to someone else. So that's called shini v'shus. What if the ganav dies and it goes birusha to his children? So the Gemara says v'shus yoyresh lav k'rishus lakech dami. That's not called a shini v'shus. Why not? Shini v'shus means that the bailus of the marakama is paka. The original owner loses his ownership. And the Marabastra acquires a new bailus now. But by Yerusha, it's not that the bailus of the rich uncle who died, not that his bailus is Paka and now the Yerusha acquires ownership. No, it's Baruch Karadavua. The Gemara has a Lashon in Erevin. Baruch Karadavua means the old Kenyan is still here. The mace owned, let's say, this property. The mace dies, so the Yerushim take the place of the Nifter. It's the same Kenyan that was there before. But instead of the original owner, it's the Yerush of the original owner. So that's what it means, Baruch HaRadavua. You don't call out a Shini Rishus. If the Ganef sells the Genevet to a Lekech, or he gives it the Matana to a Mekabal Matana, then it's Yish, after Yush, then it's Yish Vishini Rishus, and then the Mekabal Matana or the Lekech is Kaina. But if the Ganef dies and it just goes Birusha, the Gemara comes to, it's a Machloikis, in the end of Baba Kam, and we pass him Rishus Yerush. Is lav kirushus lekeach domi. So that's one of the themes in this Mishnah. When the Bechor gets pishnayim, the Bechor gets a double portion. He considers him as if he's two sons. So the one portion he gets b'toras pashut, like any son gets, that he gets even bal korchai. Yerusha is chal bal korchai. Because he takes the place bro karadavua, even if he doesn't want it. If he wants, he can be mafkirit, or he can be maknet to someone else. But if he just says, I don't want to have the Yerusha, he doesn't declare that I'm here by being mafkirit. He says, I don't want the Yerusha, it's chal bal korchai. What about the chelik habchora, the second chelik? So the two chalokim, the chelik habshitas that he gets, like any son, there are five sons, and they divide Yerusha into six parts, and he gets two-sixths. He gets 2/6. So 1/6 he gets like a regular son. The other 6 he gets b'toras b'chayra. So that's losses lo pishnayim. Matone kai rachmana. That's the Gemara in Yesh Nechon. So the Gemara says, just like matone can't be bal korchai, so to the chelek ha-b'chayra, he doesn't get bal korchai. If the b'chayra makes a declaration, I don't want any of the Yerusha. So the chelek ha-b'chayra, he can prevent. He doesn't want. He doesn't get it bal korchai. Because that's matana kai rachma. Just like matana can be bal korcha of the mekabel matana, so too the chelek habchara can be bal korcha of the bechor. But the chelek habshitas, that's a din, that the rishus yorish is lav ki rishus lekech dami. Not that the bailus of the marakama is poka and the marabasra acquires a new ownership. No, it's not a new ownership. It's bor karatavua. He fits in, he takes the place of the father. So it's not a new kinyan. So that's even chal bal korcha. So that's the Shadesa Machlekes HaTanaim here in this Mishnah. what's the din when it comes Yovel? In the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they divided Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim and then among the Mishpachas and then among the Yechidim. So a person has a field, a person owns a farm in Eretz Yisrael. Either he was from the Boy Ha'aretz, so he got, they made the Chaluk, he got the original, or the original owner died, and this is the son, the grandson, great-grandson, 50 doiris later, so he gets it Birusha. So that's called the Ste'achuza. And if you buy a field, buy a farm from someone else, that's called Ste Mikne. I bought it. It's not mine. I didn't get a Birusha from one of the Boy Ha'aretz. So there are different dinim. There are different halachas. When you pay the wedding, Moisim Chaimish, there are a few differences between Ste'achuza and Ste Mikne. One of the major differences is when it comes every seventh year of Shemitah, and after seven Shemitahs, after 49 years, then the 50th year Shnas HaYovel, so An Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, so does Chozos LeBaleihem BeYovel. The farms that are only Stei Mikne go back to the rightful owner, converts back to become a Stei Achuza. So the Chumash has this description of the case, the Stei Mikne reverts back to become a Stei Achuza to the rightful owner, goes back to the original owner. It has it describing a case where Reuven sold his karka to Shem. Reuven had it Birusha. Reuben was one of the Boy Ha'aretz, he got it, or Reuben died, and it's five generations later, let's say, and he got it Birusha. And then he sells it to someone else. So there's one Machlokes Hatanaim here. What if he didn't sell it to someone else? What if he gave it b'matana to someone else? They say matana kemecher, or matana is lab kemecher. When the Gzeres HaKasav and the Chumash tells you this Chiddush Din, that everyone who has a stay mikna who bought it, mikna means he bought it. Anyone who has a stay mikna has to give it back to the rightful owner, that he should revert back to become a stay achuz on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. Is that only the way it's described in the Chumash b'mechira? What if he gave it b'matana? So that's machlokes in this Mishnah, Reb Meir and the Chacham, whether matana kemecher, matana is lav kemecher. I gave a matana of karka and Eretz Yisrael to someone else, so I no longer have it as a stei achuza, and the other person has it like a stei mikna. But does it go back b'yovel or not? That's a machlokes hatanai. We pass matana is kemecher. You see, in the Mishnah, machlokes amev chachamim we have the tzion for the ayin mishpat, the tiny light, the letter dalet and matana kemecher. There's an interesting Yerushalmi that the recent gedolim point out. The Shalmi talks about there's a machlokes Rab Yude and Rab Meir regarding Maisa Sheni. Every year of the Shemitah, whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael, whatever food grows in Eretz Yisrael on the ground, on the trees, you have to be mafresh trumas and maisas. Kol zman, you don't take out trumas and maisas. Everything is tevel, and it's also bachil. Sometimes it'll be tevel deraisa, sometimes it'll be tevel derabbanan, but it'll be tevel. And you're not allowed to eat it until you mafresh all the trumas and maisers. So the first 2 years of the Shemitah cycle, first you mafresh 2% truma gedola, then you mafresh 10% of what's left as maiserishin, and you give 10% of what's left after that. That'd be 9% of the whole thing. You mafresh 10% of what's left after taking out the maiserishin, you give it as maiser sheni. Maisa Sheni. The third year, instead of the Maisa Sheni, give Maisa Rani. So let's say the Maisa Sheni. So the Maisa Sheni is called Kodesh, and you have to bring it to Yerushalayim to be allowed to eat it, and you're not permitted to eat it chutz Yerushalayim unless you are poida. You have to be poida menasata kesa b'chol ha'shetav anavshecha. You can be poida the Maisa Sheni on tekesh. That's one of the three cases we had the Gemara a daf ago. That's one of the three dinim mechumish usually kol ha'tarakula. Shava kesev is kekesev. When we get married, so mikadosh and isha, you give her a ring, you don't give her kesh. And that's shava kesev dina kekesev. And when you make pidyon aben, you can give a becher, you can give a matonic. Talazel pidyon mini, egelzel pidyon mini, the Gemara has in Kiddushin in the first parak. You can give shava kesev. Even l'chatchila, there's no hidah to give daf kekesev. Whenever there's a din of kesev, so on kol ha'tarkul, the shava kesev kekesev, with only three exceptions to the rule. So one of the three exceptions is pidyon maaser sheni. It says tzarta kesev b'yadecha, You need davke kesef, and shove kesef is no good. And kesef means it's recognized as legal tender in that country where the money is located. Let's say the money is in Eretz Israel, and I have the Maaser Sheni in New York. I'm in New York, and the Maaser Sheni is in New York, and I want to be paid on a matbeya. That's an Eretz Yisrael. So does it have to be an Israeli matbeya? Does it have to be an American matbeya? An Israeli matbeya is not legal tender in America. So that's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, and we assume the halacha against the Rambam. We assume the two girsas in the Gemara and the end of Bava Kamma. Does it depend on the country where the person who's making the Pidyon Maaser Sheni is, where he's located? Or does it depend on the country where the money is located? So we pass on halacha like the Ravid's girsa in the Gemara and the end of Bava Kamma. It depends on the country where the money is located. So if the money is in Eretz Yisrael, the money is in Yerushalayim, or now for many years, Rav Neuwirth, the author of the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosa, used to give permission to all the members of Broyas Kehillah. I lived down the block from Broyas Kehillah. So Rabbi Neuwirth went to Yeshiva Ketana as a young child. He went to Yeshiva with all the people who were the original founders of Broyas Kehillah. So every year they would print in the Breuer's newsletter that Rav Neuwirth gives permission to anyone who's a dues-paying member of Breuer's to use his matbeya that he has in Beit Vegan for the purpose of Pidyon Maaser Sheni in America. But the matbeya that he had is an Israeli coin. So how is it good for Pidyon Maaser Sheni in America? The person who's doing the Pidyon is in America. According to the Rambam, it depends where the person is. The answer is, we don't paskan like the Rambam. The Chazanish and others say, no, we paskan like the Ravid. The Rambam's girsa was incorrect. It doesn't fit into the Gemara. That's what the Ravid argues. The Rambam had an incorrect girsa. The correct girsa is where the Ravid said that fits into the Gemara, the end of Bava Kamma, and the end of Agozel there, that it all depends on the land where the money is located. So for the purpose of Pidyon Maaser Sheni, you have to have davke kesef sheyesh olav tzura. Yeah. So the Gemara has machlekes hatanoim. That money that you, let's say the Paris Maaser Sheni themselves, when you bring them to Yerushalayim, so it grew on my farm, and I'm the owner of the farm. So the Paris belong to me, I bring it to Yerushalayim. So I'm the balabas. So do you say Maaser Sheni, mama, bailim? The Maaser Sheni belongs to me, and if I'm paid on to cash, so the cash belongs to me. And if I want, I can make Mekadosh and Isha with the cash. I can make Mekadosh and Isha with the Mois Maaser Sheni. Or maybe I should say no, since the Chumash describes the Maaser Sheni as Kodesh, Chumash describes Maaser Sheni as Kodesh, and that the Revai is Kodesh. The Gemara has the Tanaim have a Gzeres Shavah, Kodesh, Kodesh, linking together Maaser Sheni and that the Revai, the pears that grow the fourth year, if you have a tree. So they both have a din of Kodesh. So that's a machlokes, Rab Meir and Rab Yudah, whether Maaser Sheni, Mama Gavoya, Maaser Sheni, Mama Baila, my nafkamina, can you sell Maaser Sheni? If it's Mama Baila, I can sell it, I can make Mekadosh and Isha with it. I have a right to sell it and charge money for it. But if Maaser Sheni is Mama Gavoya, so I have no ability, I don't have the right to sell it, and I can't be Mekadosh and Isha with it. So the machlek is how do we paskin there? So the Gemara has the end of the second parak in Kedushin. This is an exception to the rule. Usually, whenever there's a machlek, it's Rab Meir and Rab Yudah. So we say Rab Meir, Rab Yudah, Allah ki Rab Yudah. Gemara says an Erev and Rab Meir was so sharp. He used to give such pilpulim when he gave shir. He would explain how you can say there's panim lakan and panim lakan. You can say like this and you can say like that. And the Talmidim learned by Rab Meir, they walked away, they didn't know halacha l'maisa, what's the din? And in the days of the Tanaim, the Iker, what they were interested in was, what's halacha l'maisa, what's the bottom line? How do we pass? And so because Rab Meir explained all the logical possibilities in the shir, and he didn't always leave the Talmidim with a clear-cut understanding on how you pass in halacha, so he lost a lot of Talmidim. They all left Rab Meir. So the next generation, next few generations, when they were passing, what's the consensus? So the consensus was the loiker Rab Meir, because Rab Yudah had more Talmidim than Rab Meir. All the Talmidim left Rab Meir, and they went to learn by Rab Yudah. Rab Yudah told you what he paskens la'aloch. So usually we say Rameh Rabbi Yudah Alachik Rabbi Yudah. Here it's Rameh Rabbi Yudah Alachik Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says here we have stamim mishnayis and different mesichtis that the din is like Rabbi Meir. The Ma'aser Sheni is Mama Gavoya. It's not Mama Bailas. Because it's Mama Gavoya, the money or the Paris Ma'aser Sheni doesn't make a difference. It's Mama Gavoya, and therefore you cannot sell the Ma'aser Sheni Paris, and you cannot be Mekadosh Anisha with the money that's Mois Ma'aser Sheni because it's not yours. So what about if I don't want to sell it? What if I want to give it b'matana? I want to give the Ma'aser Sheni b'matana to someone else? So I would have said, if it's Mama Gavoya, I'm not the Bailam. So just like I can't sell it and I can't use it to be Mekadosh Anisha, so I can't give it b'matana either. So the Yerushalmi, you see, not so. The Yerushalmi says, if you hold La Locha like Rav Meir, that's how we pass the Ma'aser Sheni, Mama Gavoya, it's not Mama Bailam, and you can't sell it. So would you say Matana Kemecher? So just like Mecher is a violation of Mama Gavoya, Matana also is a violation of Mama Gavoya. You can't give Matana. What I say, Matana Lav Kemecher. So Yishalmi says it depends on this Machlekes of Me'an HaChachamim and our Mishnah, whether Matana Kemecher or not. The Machlekes in our Mishnah is a bad Yovel. If I have a Sdeach who's an Eretz Yisrael, I gave it the Matana to someone else, and then it comes, years go by, and it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, do I get it back? Does it revert back to become a Sdeach Huza? Or does it remain? The Matana remains by the other person, because the Chumash only gives the Din of Sodas Chazos LeBaleim B'Yovel in a case when the rightful owner, the one who had it as a Sdeach Huza, sold it to the Lakech. The Chumash doesn't describe the case where he gave it the Matana. What's the Din if he gave Matana? So that's Machlekes, where the Matana came Mecher or not. The Yishalmi says that Machlekes, where the Matana came Mecher, will be relevant b'negeh to Ma'aser Sheni Mama Gavoya, and you cannot sell the Ma'aser Sheni. Can you give it the Matana? So it's interesting. You see, for that Yerushalmi, Rab Chaim had this Yisoid. So the Talmidim of Rab Chaim brought that Yerushalmi as a Raya. Rab Chaim said, Ma'aser Sheni Mama Gavoya is not to be taken literally, that it doesn't belong to me. No, it is mine. It grew on my farm. I'm the owner of the farm, and whatever grows on my farm is Aroy Ashbach. It grew on my farm. I'm the owner. And then I'm Mafrish Truma Gedoyla, belongs to Shevet Kahuna. Ma'aser Rishon belongs to Shevet Leviya. And then you have a Tovus Hanot to pick whichever kind and whichever level you want to give. But Ma'aser Sheni, you didn't give away to anybody else. It belonged to you. You're the owner of the farm. And when you mafresh Ma'aser Sheni, it belongs to you. The Machlaikas or Meir Abudah, whether Mama Gavoya, Mama Bailam, is not to be taken literally, Rab Chaim said. Doesn't mean literally Mama Gavoya doesn't belong to the farmer. It does belong to the farmer. The Machlaikas is, the Chumash describes it as Kodesh. Ma'aser Sheni is Kodesh and an Eter Avai. They both had the same dinim. You can't eat them chutz li Yerushalayim unless you pay to them. So the question is, since it has Kedusha, let's say I have a pair of tefillin. The tefillin have Kedusha. I can sell a tefillin to someone else just because it has Kedusha. It's not a steerer to the Kedusha. If a sefer writes a pair of tefillin and he sells it to a customer. But the shot is over here. Maybe the nature of the Kedusha of Ma'aser Sheni is such that it'll constitute a bizayin hakdusha if you sell a Ma'aser Sheni to someone else. Not that it doesn't belong to you, literally, taken literally, Ma'aser Sheni, Mama Gavoya. It's Hegdish. No, it's not Hegdish. It avada belongs to the farmer. It grew on his farm, and he didn't give it away to the Kanim, he didn't give it away to the Levim. He's going to bring it to Yerushalayim, and he's going to eat it. And someone else is going to take it from him against his wishes. It's Geneva. It belongs to the farmer. But the question is, do you treat it? Are you obligated to treat it like Kodesh as if it were Mama Gavoya? So we pass on like Rab Meir against Rab Yudin, and Ma'aser Sheni is Mama Gavoya. So if you'll sell it to your Mekadosh Anisha, that'll constitute a Bizayin HaKedusha. So we say the sale is not Chal and the Kedusha is not Chal. So the question is, what if he gives it b'matana? Maybe the din of a Bizayin HaKedusha is only if you sell it. Maybe if you give it matana, maybe matana is Lav Kemecher. So that's where the Yerushalmi has a Chiddush. If you hold where we paskin, Ma'aser Sheni, Mama Gavoya, and the farmer does not have the ability to sell the Ma'aser Sheni, or to use it to be Mekadosh Anisha, does that preclude the ability of the farmer to give the Ma'aser Sheni b'matana to somebody else? So that, the Yerushalmi says, that depends on this Machlekes, when the Matana Kemecha, Matana Lav Kemecha. So that's what the Talmidim Abradavala Soloveitchik point out, that from that Yerushalmi, you see, like Rab Chaim said, the Maaseh Sheni Mamu Gevurah is not to be taken literally, that it belongs to Hegdash. It doesn't belong. If it belongs to Hegdash, of course Matana is Kemecher. What does it have to do with the Machlekes, Rab Meir, and the Chachamim here, where the Matana Kemecher? So you see, it's just a question of Tarte de Sasri, it's a stira to the Kedusha. So Nachamo, so there's a difference between the chelek hapshitus and the chelek hapchore that the bechor gets. Lozes lo pishnaim, he gets two halok. One chelek he gets even bal korcha, even though he doesn't want it, he gets a bal korcha. If he doesn't want to continue owning it, he has a brevet to be mafkerit. But he can't just say, I refuse to accept the pishnah. He can't say, I refuse to accept the Yerusha. Yerusha is chal bal korcha shalom. Even if you're not happy about it, you have to be mafkarit, you have to give it away, the matana, to someone else. What about the chelek habchora, the extra share? So that, it says, losses lo pishan matana kai rachmana. Just like if he say you don't want the matana, so you don't get it balkorchai, so you don't get the pishnayim balkorchai. But the chelek habshitas, you do get balkorchai. So now there's a machloika satanaim, when the Torah says that if a person had a farm in Eretz Yisrael, it was a steachuza, and then somehow was transferred to someone else and it became a stay mikneh. Then when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, it goes back to the original owner, reverts back again to become a stay achuza. So what about the chelek habchora of the bechor, the extra share, the chelek habshitas that he gets like all the other children? That's a Yerusha. That's a Yerusha. Yerusha doesn't go. It is a stay achuza now. It's a stay achuza now. The Yerush has it. But the shayla is, what about the extra share, the chelek habchora, the pishnaim, the extra chelek that the bchor got? And the Torah calls it rachmona kai, matona kai rachmona. The Torah loses lo pishnaim. It's referred to as a matona. Maybe I should say, just like matona is choseres b'yovel, that's how we pass a matona kemecher. So just like we pass a matona kemecher, and it's choseres b'yovel, maybe also the chelek habechora, which is referred to by the Chumash as a matana, maybe it's also chayza b'yovel. So the bechor only maintains the bailus on the pishnayim for a couple of years until Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. If the father died a month before Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, so the bechor only gets pishnayim for a month, and then he has to surrender it, and then all the brothers will divide it. It becomes a new Yerusha. He'll only own it up until the time that it comes, Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. Then he has to surrender it and is divided among all the brothers. So that's a machlekes satanaim. Similarly, there's a machlekes satanaim. Habal Yerusha Sishtai. Habal Yerusha Sishtai. The din is, if the wife dies, the husband Yarshins, if they had Nisuin. In the days of Tanakh, there were two parts to the marriage, and there would often be a pause of a whole year in between. First, there was Kiddushin, otherwise known as Erisin, and then there was Nesuin, otherwise known as Chuppah. So how to do Kiddushin, that's the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. There are two Masechtas. Masechas Kiddushin is about Kiddushin, Masechas Ksubis is all about Nesuin. So how do you do Kiddushin? So you can do either Kesef for Shtar or Bia. The Chachamim prohibited doing Kiddushi Bia. They left with Kesef and Shtar. And the Rambam says, Kranoga Kol Yisrael Kaddish B'Kesef. The meaning is that we do Kiddushin Kester. That's how you do Kiddushin, otherwise known as Erisin. How do you do Nisuin? So that's very unclear in the Gemara. How do you do Nisuin? Once you do Nisuin, the wife will be considered Besu Zuishtoi. The Gemara says, let's say the Kangor Lanyam Kippur has to be married, because the Pasuk says, V'chipa ba'adoi u'be'ad Besu. The Kangor has to recite Vidui. Ba'ado, on behalf of himself, he says, Chotas Avisa Peshaiti Lefanecha, Ani Ubesi. Ani Ubesi means Ani Vishti, my wife. And the Gemara says, Besa Zuishta is only if she's Nesua. Let's say the Kangol only has Kiddushin with his wife. He doesn't have Nisuin. A single fellow, and then they made him Kangol, and then he got married, and he only made Erisin. Usually there used to be a year's wait in between the Erisin and Nisuin. He used to wait a year, and then the Wednesday following the year, Psula Nisus Liyam Ravi, Mufleg Vatna Yoren Amitvach, they wait a whole year, and the next Wednesday after the year was up, then they would have the nisuin. That's where that expression comes from. So an empty mayor and a mitvach. The girl wants to already have nisuin, and the boy says no. He wants to buy an apartment. He wants to get a job. He wants to buy clothing. He wants to prepare for the marriage. So you allow him to wait up until a year, and then the Wednesday following the year, by then he has to already do the nisuin. If he doesn't, so then the Mishnah says we hold him responsible to support his wife, even though he didn't do the nisuin yet. See, he's nizaynis mishalo. Habal is the chayv b'mizaynis ishtay. That's only after nisuin. During everything, he's not chayv b'mizaynis ishtay. So the Gemara says that in the beginning of Maseches Yuma, that pasuk that says by the kangor l'anyam kippah v'chipa ba'adoy b'ad beisa, the kangor says vidoy for himself a ba'ad beisa, beisa zuish to his wife, that only applies if it's ishto nisua. Why? Because that's what nisuin is all about. Hachnosa l'rishusai. The woman enters the rishusa of the husband. Just a little bit, if I own property that shall leave, let's say they stole my automobile. So the automobile still belongs to me, but it's ain't a bishusi. I don't know where it is. I don't have access to it. So that's called shaliva ain't a bishusi. Because of the shabbailim, shame ain't a chayil hagdishas, elephi shayna shaloi, zelephi shayna bishusa. Full ownership, complete ownership means shaloi bishusa. So here by marriage, can't use those kind of words. The husband doesn't own his wife. But during Erisin, she's considered an Eishes Ish, Shalobe Beis HaBaal. And after he does Nisuin, Nisuin basically is an act of Hachnosa L'Rishuso. That's the question, how exactly they do Hachnosa L'Rishuso. So there are different opinions in the Rishayim, and we do all of them. We do all of them. So the one opinion is that you do Badekin. The Badekin is the Nisuin. You look in Yerideya, and the end of Yerideya, Chelegimel, Hilchus Avelis. So the Ramah quotes that opinion from the Mordechai in first Perek and Ksubis, that Yotza Behinumo means when the Chosin does the Badekin on the Kala, that constitutes the Nisuin. That's if she's already, today we usually do the Badekin before the Kiddushin, before the Chosin marches down the aisle. So that's a discussion in Mishlah Melech. How does that help? He's supposed to do the Nisuin after the Erisin. How can we do it before? So the Mishlah Melech says it's okay. He has a Chuvas Rashi quoted by the Mordechai. If you did Nisuin before Erisin, so but yeah, it's good. You don't have to repeat the Nisuin. So that's the one opinion that the Badekin is already the Nisuin. Another opinion is not the Badekin, but under the Chuppah, when they put a talis over both of them, or for us the Chanafecho, Ala Masecha, the same as Badekin. For us the Chanafecho, Ala Masecha is the expression that appears in Megillas Rus that we read on Shavuos. That's called Nisuin. Then there's a third opinion, the fact that they stand under the canopy. What does that help standing under the canopy? So the Mefarshim on the side of the page and Ebenezer explained that the canopy is a Tzuras HaPesach, like an Erev for Shabbos purposes. You have Kana Mikan, Mikana Mikan, Mikana Al-Gabehim. You don't really need the cloth in the middle, according to this opinion. You don't need the cloth, you need an Erev. So if you have four poles and you have a string going from the first to the second to the third to the fourth and back to the first, that's a Tzuras HaPesach. So that creates as if the location directly enclosed by the four poles is a separate room. You made a Tzuras HaPesach. It's a separate room. So when the Chosan and the Kala go into that room, the parents are there too, and Mesad Kedushin is there too, and they're going to be Edim standing there, a lot of people standing under the canopy. But according to the Ramah, that constitutes Hachnosa L'Rishuso. And the Ramah says, no, it has to be Hachnosa L'Rishuso, a private room, Yichud HaRoy L'Biyah. There should be no one else should be in the room. Yichud HaRoy L'Biyah. So those are four different opinions. What constitutes the Nisuin? One opinion Badekin, one opinion is putting the talus over both of their heads. One opinion is standing under the canopy, because the canopy itself is a Tzuras HaPesach. It's a Rishus Bifnei Atzmai. So it's as if the Chosan Kala entered a room, L'Shem Nisuin. And then the Rambam's opinion is you go into the Cheder HaYichud right away. That's why the Poskim say you should rush immediately following the Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah. They should Meritza Mesachasa Mesachala the Cheder HaYichud. Now they did away with that completely. Everybody's kissing everybody else under the chuppah. and all the friends are coming up and kissing the chosen and the kala and wishing them and talking and talking, and the photographers are there. You're not supposed to have such a long pause. They said the Sheva Brachos under the chuppah, according to the Rambam, the nisuin consists of the going into the cheder hayichud. So you're not supposed to have such a long pause. It takes 20 minutes till they get into the cheder hayichud. That's what the Rishonim call over the over. The birchas hamitzvah have to be recited over lasiyosim. Over lasiyosim means immediately before. That's why the Gemara didn't say koidem lasiyosim. Over lasiyosim means immediately before you're about to do the mitzvah. The Gemara says when you have tefillin, when the tefillin are on your arm and you're about to tighten it, that's when you say the bracha. You don't say the bracha when you're taking the bayis shalyad out from the tefillin zekel. That's over the over. You say it when it's already on the arm and you're about to tighten it. That's called over lasiyosim. So here also, the poskim say, according to the Rambam, the nisuin consists of going to the cheder hayich where there's no one else there. It's going to be private. So the brichas nisuin should relate to the yichud room. So there shouldn't be such a long pause. That's why the Maril, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Maril, has the expression, meritzim esachasam esakala lecheder hayichud. You rush them into the cheder hayichud. So there shouldn't be such a long pause between the birchas nisuin under the chup and the nisuin. Then the Vilna Gaon shita is that the nisuin is created when they go home, 6 hours later, when the wedding is all over. And the chos and kala go home. They go home by taxi, whatever, and they go into their own apartment or their own hotel room, whatever it happens to be. So that's the chos and was machnas the kala into his room. Yeah. So there we do all of these. We do all of the 5 different opinions, because we're not sure which one we pass can like. Yeah. So again, so there's a big machlekes hatanoim. The Gemara quotes part of it here, but basically it's in Perek Yesh Nachlan. Habal Yerush Hesish, there's only one direction. If the wife dies before the husband, then the husband Yarshin. If the husband dies before the wife, there is no din that the wife Yarshin's the husband. It's only one direction. So that din, Habal Yerush Hesish, that's a big machlekes hatanoim in Perek Yesh Nachlan. Is that a din deraisa or a din derabonan? Yeah. Machlekes, how do you read the psukim? The Sheira HaKorah Velav Sheira Zu. Sheira refers to the husband. Sheira means Sheira Bosa, means the spouse. Or no, Sheira to the closest relative, whoever the closest relative happens to be. Yeah. What's the issue? So the Ragatrover explains in his Sefer, in the Tzofnas Panech HaLaramam, he explains what's the issue. Well, Yerushas HaBal is the Raisa Rabban. What's the Svara involved in the Machlekes? Shaila is, if you have blood relatives, even after the person dies, that's my father, that's my brother, that's my sister. So they're a blood relative. Even after someone dies, so they're still the Morish is not alive anymore, but it's still referred to the person as my relative. If a couple was married and the wife dies, then the husband is no longer married to his wife. There's no Sheiris Lachamisa, there's no Ishis Lachamisa. So how can you say that the husband yarshins the wife the minute the wife dies, so he's not married to her anymore? What would the din be if the husband divorced his wife and then the wife dies? After he divorced her, then she dies. So once they're divorced, so he's not married to her anymore. So he's not entitled to the Yerusha, so he would not yarsh. So even if the husband never divorced his wife, the wife died. So once she dies, that's the end of the issue. So it's not it's his former wife. It's not his wife any longer. So that's the argument of the Tanoim. It's a machlekes hatanoim, and a machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid had a paskin. The Rambam paskins habal yerush hesishta is only midirabbanan, only midirabbanan. And the Ravid paskin, like the other Tani, he thinks we should accept the opinion habal yerush hesishta is a din deraisa. We mentioned, I think, a few weeks ago, the Rambam writes another chiddush, that the din is, it says at the beginning of Parshas Emor al Kohanim, the nefesh leitama biyama, but Kohen is not allowed to be metami to a mace unless it's one of the 7 relatives. Who are the Zayin Kroivim? So father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, these are 6. And then spouse. So the Rambam writes that halacha, that the husband is metame if his wife dies, even though he's a Kohen, He's permitted and obligated to be metame to the meis. The Rambam said that's only midirabbanan. What do you mean midirabbanan? And minatar, it's prohibited. So if it's an isa, ein kerach biyar chacham lakadom minatar bikum yasei, how can a chachamim allow a kohen to be metame to his wife if it's osam minatar? How can they be chacham well authorized? That was one of the three mottos of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola in the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Anshei Knesset HaGdola heimam shloshet dvar maasei siog la'Torah, to make harchokas. So they were authorized to make chumras, to make harchokas. They were not authorized to make kulas. When Torah, the husband is not metame to his wife. And midirabbanan, he's allowed and obligated to be metame. How can you say that? So the Rambam says they declared it as if the wife would be a meis mitzvah. It looks scandalous. The couple was married so many years, and then the wife dies, and the husband doesn't attend the funeral of his own wife. So it'll be a bizoyin a meis. So just like there's a din a meis mitzvah, if there's no one else there to bury the meis, the kohen is permitted and obligated to be mitameh to bury the meis. So too by ishtoi, asu'uha kameis mitzvah. That's what the Rambam is quoting from a Gemara. So the rabbi says there is no such gemara. There is a gemara like that, but the gemara says it in a different case. If a man married a ktana, a kohen married a ktana, but not that he gave kesu kiddushin to the ktana's father. The father passed away, and the girl is a yisaima. So he gave the kesu kiddushin for ima v'yachera. The mother married off her daughter. The daughter is still a ktana. She's not even 12 years old yet. So minatar, the daughter cannot be mekabel her own kiddushin. But the mother can marry her off, midirabbanan. Or there's an older brother, so the older brother, kisiyua ima v'yachera. Either the older brothers married her off, or the mother married her off. So that's kiddushin midirabbanan. So the Gemara says, kiddushin midirabbanan, and then the wife is going to die, the ktana. The man, the kohen, married a ktana, and then the wife died. And then the husband, Kohen, is only married midirabbanan to her. Minatar, she's not married. The mother does not have the ability to marry off the daughter. The father has a pasuk, as bitin as tatilish, as the father has a right to marry off the daughter. Oh, mikadosh as bituk, she ktanok, she naira. But the mother doesn't have the right, minatar. But midirabbanan, they gave the mother the right to marry her off. So the Gemara says that if the wife dies, the husband is a Kohen, he's metame to his wife. So the Gemara says, how can you allow that? But Minatar, it's not his wife. He's not even married. So the Gemara says, Asua kemeis mitzvah. They said it'll be bizoyin ameis if the husband won't attend the funeral. But the Gemara says that Asua kemeis mitzvah in a special case, not every case of a bal mitame liish. The Gemara has a rare case that the man married the girl when she was the ktana, and if there's no father, if the father would marry off his daughter, that would be a married Minatara. That would be an Eshes Ish Minatar. The mother or the older brothers married her off. So she's only married midirabbanan. So that's why the Gemara had to give that explanation. They declared it as if she's a meis mitzvah. But what else is a regular ishtai? He marries a girl who's 19 years old, and she's a bogeris already. She's b'shus atzma. And she agrees. He says, Hare mekudeshesli. He doesn't have to go through the father or the mother or the older brothers. The girl is already 18, 19, 20 years old. And she's maskim to the shidduch, so she gets married. So that's a kiddushin derais in that case. So what did the Rambam explain? Asur kemeis mitzvah. The Gemara only has that explanation when the whole kiddushin is only midirabbanan. Here in a normal case, the kiddushin is derais. What is indeed that explanation? So the Raibit is masik on the Rambam. There is no such Gemara, what the Rambam wrote. Where did the Rambam get that? There's no Tana who says that Abal mitame liishta is only midirabbanan. So that's what the Tzavtas Paneach, the Rogachava, has in his Sefer on the Rambam. His name was Yosef Rosen, and Yosef is referred to in the Chumash as Tzavtas Paneach. Paro gave him a title, Tzavtas Paneach, Mifaneach Dvorim Tzfunos. He was able to unravel hidden secrets. Yosef knew how to interpret the dream, the secrets that lie in the dream. He interpreted the dream correctly. There are going to be 7 good years and 7 bad years. He interpreted the dream correctly. So that's why Paro gave him a name, Tzavtas Paneach. So that's what the Rosh Hashanah wrote about himself. His name was Yosef. And he thought that he gave the correct interpretation in all the Gemaras and all the Rambams. So he calls himself Tzotan Spanech. Just like Yosef was Tzotan Spanech, he was also Yosef Tzotan Spanech. So the Ragachava says, there's a Machlekes HaTanaim where the Habal Yerushas Ishtah is the Raisa de Rabbanan. And the Raman Paskin, that it's only the Rabbanan, the Raibit Paskin is the Raisa. And the Nekuda of the Machlekes, the Ragachava claims, is that there's no issue Slach HaMisa. So the Rambam holds Habal Yerushas Ishtah can't be the Raisa. He follows that opinion in Tanaim that Habal Yerushas Ishtah is only the Rabbanan. Once you say that Habal Yerushas Ishtah is the Rabbanan, then you have to say Habal Metamil Ishtah is also the Rabbanan. Because on the level of the Raisa, once the wife died, he's not the husband anymore, so it's not a relative anymore. So it's only the Zayin Krovim, six of them remain Krovim. The parent and the child and the spouse and the siblings, even after someone dies, the others are still related. But if you're talking about the spouse, once one of them dies, there's no Ishus Lachamisa. So that's what the Rambam of Paskan Bari Oshas Ishtah is only with the Rabbanon. He understood that the same would apply with Abba Metamili Ishtah. How can you say it's Metamili Ishtah? It's not his wife, it's his former wife. Once she dies, she's not his wife anymore. And the Ravid Paskin, like the other Tana, that at the moment of death, she's still related. They're still related to each other. After the death, then they're not related. But at the moment of death, that's when the Zchus Yerusha takes effect. That's the Shaila. When does the Zchus Yerusha take effect? After the rich uncle dies? After the Morish dies? So after the spouse dies, it's a former spouse. They're not married anymore. So the Raibit holds no. The Zchus Yerusha takes effect as the person is about to die. And the Chiv to be Metami to the Meisot. There's a Chiv to be Metapel in the Kvura after the person died. That's why the Kohen is Metami to Meis. After the relative died, then it's Mechiv to be Metapel in the Meis to be Kaiveret. How can you say that the Chiv Kvura, the chiyuv to be metame is a chiyuv kvura? How can I say that? That's chal before the person died. There's no chiyuv kvura before the person died. That's what the Ravid's taina. Some of the Ragachava thinks that's the machloek is the Rambam and the Ravid. When is the zchus yerusha chal, and when is the chiyuv? When is the chiyuv to be metame lemeis chal? Is it chal after the death of the person? So then ein ishus lachamisa. So the most it can be is the Rabbanan. The Rabbal Yerushasish, the Rabbal Metamil Ishtah is only with the Rabbanan. That's what the Rambam holds. And the Rabbit holds now that the Zchus Yerush is Chal with the Misa, at the moment of Misa, not after the Misa. And the same thing, the Chiyav to be Metameh, that's difficult to bear. The Chiyav to be Metameh is Chal with the Misa. Why? It should be after the Misa. After the Chiyav to be Metameh is the Chiyav Kvura. If the person is still alive, there's no Chiyav Kvura. Anyway, so that's a machlekes hatanaim. Whether Habal Yerushas Ishtah is a din deraisa, din derabanan, and a machlekes halach lamaisa between the Rambam and the Ravid. How do you paskin whether deraisa derabanan? So the Gemara presents it like this: if Habal Yerushas Ishtah is a din deraisa, then if when the wife dies first and the husband yarshins, it's a steachuza by the husband. So why should he surrender it when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel? It's not a stei mikne. If Habal Yerushas Ishtah is a din deraisa, it's a regular din of Yerusha. So Yerusha, it's a stei achuza now. So why should it revert back to the original stei achuza? Leave it the way it is now as a stei achuza. That's how the Gemara seems to say. If Habal Yerushas Ishtah is deraisa, then it's mamish ki Yerusha. But if you hold Habal Yerushas Ishtah is only midirabanan, if it's only midirabanan, so how is that midirabanan? Means minatoira, the husband is not entitled to get the Yerusha. The wife's children should get the Yerusha, or her brothers, if she didn't have any children. Her brothers, her sisters, her parents, her blood relatives should get the Yerusha. So if the husband gets the Yerusha, it's not called steachuza. When the Chachamim changed the dinim and dinim amenas, how does that work? Min HaTorah, let's say, according to the Rambam, that Habal Yerushas Ishtah is only mid the Rabbanan. So in our Torah, the husband is not entitled to the Yerusha. So it's Gezel. So how does he have a right to take the Yerusha if it, he's not entitled? It's, he takes Mammon that belongs to someone else. That's what we call Gezel. So the answer is Hefke Bezna Hefke. Bezna was Mafkirit, and the Baal has a right to take it. Yeah, but the Baal takes it. So that's not called Stei Achuza. That's called like a Stei Mikna. That's considered a Stei Mikna. So that's what the Gemara says, that if you hold Habal Yerush HaSish, that's only made the Rabbanon, then it should go back be Yovel. So the husband Yarshins the wife only for a few years. Let's say she died 5 years before Yovel. So the husband only is entitled to the Yerusha from the wife for the first 5 years after she dies. Then when it comes Yom Kippur, it could be it's only 2 days before Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. She died in Shnas HaYovel, in Aseres HaMei Tshuva, 2 days before Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. So the husband Yarshins the wife's Yerusha, only the Karka and Eretz Yisrael, all his dinim, Stei Achuza, Stei Mikna, this is all Sodas and Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz, no dinim of Stei Achuza and Stei Mikna. So that's what the Gemara says. If Abba Yerusha is Tishta, is only Midi Rabbanon, then the husband's Yerusha, it's not Peteris Yerusha. It's not a Stei Achuza. It's going to be a Stei Mikna. So Stei Mikna, they have, when it comes Yom Kippur, you have to surrender and give it back to the original owner. You should revert back again to become a Stei Achuza. Yeah, that's the Gemara. Very interesting Gemara. It's very interesting. There was, in the early 1900s, I have a sefer here, the former Rosh Yeshiva in Keren B'Yavne was Rav Chaim Yankiv Goldwicht. He married a big Bas Talmid Chacham. They both passed away already. So his wife was the daughter of a big Talmid Chacham. My father-in-law, Zichron Levracha, was very friendly with Rabbi Goldwicht's father-in-law from the Miri Yeshiva in Europe. So he published a sefer. He was a Rosh Yeshiva, and she was Maharsha. That was the name of the yeshiva. And his name was Yosef Berkowitz, Yosef Kosover. Kosover is the city where he came from. So he put out a sefer in Europe, and the Rosh Yeshiva came to Yavne. They reprinted it in Eretz Yisrael years later. That's called Chelkas Yosef. And the sefer has a haskama from Rab Chaim Oizer. So in the sefer, he quotes that in the early 1900s, there was Machleg Zab Chaim Oizer and other Talmid HaChachamim regarding what's the din in the following. A Machlekes on a din daraisa and no Makoris in the Gemara. There's a Machlekes here where the Matona Kemecher. If I have a Stei Achuz and I sell it to someone else, it says in the Chumash, when it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, I get it back. What if I didn't sell it to someone, I gave it to Matona? So that's a Gemara show. That's a machlokes in the Mishnah. Rav Meir and Chacham, when a matana kemecher, a matana lav kemecher. What's the din in the following case? Not a matana. The person who owns the Stei Achuza is mafke the field, and someone else is zeichem and a hefker. The one is zeichem and a hefker. It's not a Stei Achuza, but does he have to give it back to the original owner to revert back to become a Stei Achuza? Or did he say, no, you get it back, Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it was only if I did a mecher, or if I did a matana, because matana ke mecher. When it says in the Chumash that if the owner sold the farm to someone else, he gets it back when it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. So sold it is lab davke, matana is also ke mecher. But if he's mafker it, and someone else says, I'm hefker, so that was a big machlekes on a level of the raisa. What's the din? In the middle of the sefer, Chelkas Yosef, he quotes, this was a machlekes, Rav Chaim Oizer and other gedolim. What's the din der aisa? Whether it goes back to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel or not. The Gemara does not discuss whether Hefker goes back or not. So all these cases are quoted in the Mishnah. Then there's another case, Hamiyabim Eishes Ochiv. Hamiyabim Eishes Ochiv, that we spoke about a little bit. The Gemara says in Kola Torah Kula Eina Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuta. Whenever you have a pasuk, so we say the Pshuta Shal Mikra is always MS. And in addition to the Pshuta Shal Mikra, Hakadosh Baruch Hu dictated the text of the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter, in such a way that any pasuk can have more than one level of interpretation. The Pshuta Shal Mikra is always true. Eina Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuta. Pshuta is always true. But the drushes of the Torah Shema Peh are also true. Mikra echad yotze de kama tamim. There's more than one level of interpretation on any given pasuk in Chumash. Mikra echad yotze de kama tamim. So the Gemara said there's one pasuk that's an exception to the rule where there's no pshuto shal mikra. The pasuk says if a man is married and he dies, and he leaves an almana, and he has no surviving children or grandchildren, no surviving descendants. If he had children and they died before he died, then there's still a din of yibam or chalitza. The almana still has to have chalitza. But if he has either children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, he has descendants who are still alive, who are misyachas after him, if he had an affair with a nochris or with a shivcha knainis, so the children are not misyachas after him. Of lot of kimaisa, the vlad will be a nochri, or the vlad will be an ebit knaini. So ebit ain't lo yachas, and the nochri and Israel, there's no yachas between a nochri and Israel. But if the man who died had an affair with a Jewish girl, even though he wasn't married with her, and has a child from out of marriage, out of wedlock, he has a child from a different woman, then even if the child is a mamzer, even if it's a boal achoso or something, boal eshesish, and the child is a mamzer, but still, it's Zerah Yeshlo, so then there's no dinam yibam achalit. So that pasuk, so the pasuk says, "V'hai apchor shetelig, yelkom hashem mocha v'hameis, v'lai yemocha shmo miYisrael." So the simple translation of the pasuk is, when the Yovam performs yibum, he marries the surviving brother of the Nifter, marries the Almana, marries the Yavama, and then she has the baby. So the first baby should name, if the first baby is a boy, you give him a name after the one who died. Haya Pchosha Tele, firstborn child. Yochem Hashemach Vameis, Velayim Machashma Miyisrael, shouldn't be forgotten. So the Gemara says, in Kola Tarakula, except for that pasuk. The simple translation of the words is not accepted. We only accept the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. We take each phrase in that pasuk. Vayapchor is as if it's a title of one din. It's an allusion to one din. Ashutelet is another din. Yochem Hashemach Mames is a third din. Vayapchor is Mamisol is a fourth din. The four phrases in the pasuk refer to four different dinim. And you don't read the whole pasuk altogether. That's the Gemara in Yevamos. B'chol ha'tarakula ein ha'mikra yetz midei pshuto. Except for this pasuk, there is no pshuto shal mikra. So the Gemara says, Yochem Hashemachem Hameis means when the surviving brother, when the Yavam performs Yibum, b'zman hazeh we don't permit Yibum. By the Ashkenazim, we don't permit Yibum. Because the Gemara has a machloikas hatanaim in Yevamos. There was a machlekes, do you permit, every time the Yavam is performing Yibum, he's violating the din of Eshesach. So that's the din. Eshesach b'moka mitzvah is mutter. B'moka mitzvah is Yibum. There's no chorus of Eshesach. Usually Eshesach is an Issa chorus, but b'moka mitzvah is Yibum, there's no Issa at all, it's mutter. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. Is that only if he does the Yibum L'Shem Mitzvah? What if the only reason why he's performing Yibum is because she's very good looking? If she wouldn't be so good looking, he would not be interested in marrying her. Or the only reason why he's performing Yibum is because she's from a very wealthy family or a very miyuchazdika family, and he's going to marry this woman, he's going to get shlishi all the time, he's going to get mafta yoina, they're going to be chasing after him, they're going to be mechabed him. If he's marrying the woman, shaloi l'shem mitzvah, is there a heter for the Yisra Eshesach? So the Ashkenazim hold la'aloch, it's a historical question. At different kufas in history, the consensus shifted. Abishol is a Tana. Abishol is the one who came up with this chiddush, that we only permit the Yavam to marry the Yavama, even though it should be a violation of an Yisra Koris of Eshesach. It's his brother's wife, his brother's almana. The brother died, then he left almana. That's an Issa Karis. So, but Maka Mitzvah, when he left Ubein Einlo, and he left no descendants who are alive, then it's a mitzvah to do the Yibum. So do you say it's Heta Gomer to do the Yibum, even if he's not Miskaven L'Shem Mitzvah, or only if he's Miskaven L'Shem Mitzvah? So the Ashkenaz, so the Gemara says explicitly that in different kufas in history, the psak the consensus shifted. And one period of time, the Psak HaLacha was like Abishol, another period was like the Chacham. So there's a machlekes to Sfardim and Ashkenazim. What was the final maskana? So the Ashkenazim assume final maskana was that you do have the Chumrah. We don't permit anybody to do Yibam as Manazer because we don't trust them that they're doing the Yibam l'shem mitzvah. We're afraid they're doing the Yibam for ulterior motives because the Yibam is good looking and because she's a Miuchazdika family or whatever. Because she has a lot of money, whatever. L'shem mammon. And the Sfardim are of the opinion that the final maskana was that we don't pass like Abishol. So, and for many years, the Sfardim still practiced the Yibam. Then at the time of Hakam Samadina, they had a Rabbanut ready for years, and then it became even stronger at the time of Hakam Samadina. So all of the Sfardish Rabbanim signed the Heskem. They made an agreement that none of them will permit Yibam anymore. What are you going to do? It's going to be a mixed marriage. One is going to be a Sephardi, one is going to be an Ashkenazi. You're going to follow the Sephardi Psak, an Ashkenazi Psak. What are you going to do? So they had all the Rabbanim agree that they'll follow Ashkenazi Psak, that they won't allow Yibam. At that time, Chacham Avadya didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. I think he lived in Egypt. He was a big rabbi in Egypt at that time. So he wrote at that time, he wrote a tshuva that Haskem was not legitimate. The Sfardish Rabbanim had no right to pasken against their Psak HaMekubal, that there's a mitzvah to perform Yibum. Well, who gave them the right to be mevater on the mitzvah of Yibum? If the way they were following the tradition for centuries, that they do Yibum, so they should continue to do Yibum. So that's an Asik in Eretz Yisrael. They said for many years in Kerem Yavne, the chef, the cook, and the Chadar Ochel had two wives. I think he was Miyabim. One was his own wife, and one he was his Yivama. He was Miyabim, his brother's Almana, and he had a lot of children from the two wives, and they did all of the cooking for the whole yeshiva. Yeah, but now I don't think you have it anymore. I don't think anybody does. I don't know. I don't think anybody does any Yivam anymore. Anyway, so the Gemara interprets every phrase in that pasuk. Each phrase has a different meaning, and the phrase Yokam Hashemachel Hameis means that the Yavam who performs Yibum yarshins the Yerusha of that brother, the brother whose wife he did Yibum on. So that's a machlekes Hatanaim. We refer to the brother who does Yibum as a Bchor. And Yochem Hashim Ochiv Hameis, we compare his yarshining, the dead brother whose wife he's performing Yibam on, we compare that to the Pchor who gets Pishnaim. So maybe if you hold that the Pchor who gets Pishnaim has to surrender the Pishnaim when it comes Shnas HaYovel, when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. So since the Yovam, who's Miyabim, is referred to as Vahoya Pchor, maybe he has that din like the Bchor also, that when it comes, Yom Kippur Shal Yevil has to surrender all the money and give it back to the rightful owner, should revert back to become Stei Achuza. So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim in the Mishnah. Machlokes HaTanoim in the Mishnah. So that's where the Gemara goes through the Psukim. How do you read the Psukim? Then the Gemara quotes the din of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan, there's a big machlokes hatanaim in a few different mesichtes, in Erevin, and in Gittin, and in a few more mesichtes, in Bava Metzia. A few mesichtes, whether yesh brera ein brera, in Beitza, it's a lot, whether yesh brera ein brera. What's a shadow like this? Let's say, the rich uncle died, Uncle Sam was a rich uncle. He dies and Yerusha goes to the nephews. Uncle Sam has nephews. He never got married, let's say, and his Yerusha goes to his nephews. So there's no need for any kinyonim when you get a Yerusha. In fact, you kind of Yerusha bal korchai, even if you don't want it. if you want to, you can be mafkarit, but I can't just say, I refuse to accept the Yerusha. The Yerusha happens bal kocho shel od, even if he doesn't want to acquire the ownership. The Yerusha is chal even bal kocho. So the shaila is, at the moment of death, let's say there are a few yorshim. The rich uncle died, Uncle Sam, and he has a few nephews. So all the nephews get a share. So initially, all of the Yerusha is owned b'shutfis by all of the relatives who are next in line to get it. That's called Tfusas Habayis, the estate. It belongs to all of them together. Tfusas Habayis is not the same as the shutfis. You have dinim where it's different. The halachas where it's different. The Mishnah Shkolim, the differences. Tfusas Habayis, let's say a man dies and he has five sons. So all of the assets of the father now belong to the estate, and it's one big ownership, as if all five together own all the estates. If you have, let's say, 11, I give the marshal 11. There used to be a store, EJ Corvettes, 11 Jewish Korean veterans. So they became friendly in the war, and the 11 veterans made a shutfis, and they made a store. So if you have 11 people joined together, that's not a tfusas habayis. That's a shutfis. I own one, let's say if they're all equal shares, I own 1/11th and you own 1/11th. You don't own more. You don't say all 11 own the whole business. You don't say like that. You say, I own 1/11th, you own 1/11th, he owns 1/11th. Each one owns one share and they're all entitled to get the profits. According to the percentages that they put into the shutfas. Tfus Habayis is a different word. It's considered as if all of the assets belong to all of the shutfim at the same time. It's a different kind of Yerushim. The difference is Allah Hamayis. First daf in Bab Metziah, Taisus shows that there are differences between, but there are Mishnahis like that. Differences, Lalach, between Tfus Habayis and shutfas. So the shaila is, let's say someone dies and he has five children getting the Yerusha. So at the moment of death, all the assets belong to Tfusas Habayis. The whole estate belongs to all of the Yorshim together. It's one bailus. And then they decide to break up. So let's say the father who died owned five hotels in five different parts of the world. So they draw lots, and I get one hotel, you get one hotel, and he gets one hotel in France, and he gets one hotel in Italy, he gets one hotel in Yerushalayim, he gets a hotel in Connecticut, whatever each one gets. So the shaila is, how does it change from Tfusas Habayis that all the assets were owned by all of the shutfim, all the children together? How does it change later on that I own this hotel and you own that hotel? Do we need kinyonim? Nah, that we never heard of. You draw lots. You draw lots to if they can't, unless they can agree. I say, I live in Italy, so I'll take the hotel in Italy. You live in Spain, so you take the hotel in Spain. He lives in Israel, he'll take. So if we decide, or we draw lots, however we decide. So you don't need any kinyonim. You make a chalukah somehow. Either by hagrola or by consent, they all agree. The machlekes is, they say, just like at the moment of death, the assets of the mace go over Birusha to all of the shutfim. That's the din of Yerusha. It sets in automatically, even bal korchai. So, and there's no need for dasis, even chal bal korchai. Of the shutfim. So maybe when you make the chalukah, I should say yesh brere. Maybe I should say huvra hadover lamafreya, that at the time of death it was oimid lekach that I'm going to get the hotel in Italy and you're going to get the hotel in France and he's going to get the hotel in Yerushalayim. Do you say it was oimid lekach? So the din of Yerusha said in b'shaita at the moment of death that the whole estate belongs to all of the brothers b'shutfis. And after the moment of death, it was oimei to be divided. So when they finally agree and they make up who's going to get which hotel, there's no need for a kinyan and there's no need even for das makna. The Yerusha is chal bal korcha. They have to agree how to make the chalukah. But once they agree who's going to get which hotel where, it should be shav v'bishav, it should be equal. They're going to make up, let's say, one hotel is worth more than the other, so they give him this money in the bank also. So they give him more money in the bank to make up for the fact that his hotel is worth less than the other guy's hotel. Fine. So once you make that decision, you say it was oimed lakach mishor v'shoina. So the din of Yerusha set in at the moment of death, immediately that the tfusas habayis belongs to all of them, and also set in that if later we'll make a chaluka, we'll say it was always oimed lakach yesh bereira, huvra adam afra, it was always oimed lakach, and the din of Yerusha sets in later, 5 years later, when they make the chaluka, it sets in that this farm should belong to me and not to you, and that hotel should belong to you and not to me. That's if you hold yesh bereira. Yeah. How do we paskin? Do we paskin yesh bereira, ein bereira? So that's a long run in Perik in the Dorim, the first, the long run Perik HaShutvim, a gigantic run. So the Ran quotes all the Shitas and the Rishonim. So he says, some paskin yesh bereira, some paskin ein bereira. And the Psak HaMukubal, the Ran says, is based on the Gemara, the end of Beitza, towards the very end of Beitza, one of the last Dafim, that with respect to Dinim Deraisa, the Din is ein bereira. With respect to Dinim Derabana, the Din is a yesh bereira. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, Achim Shecholku. The father died and there were five brothers, let's say. So the first couple of years, they were running the whole estate, all the business all together. They were dividing everything. And then after 5 years, they decide they want to split up because one of them is working harder than the other. He says, why should I only get one-fifth? I want to get more than one-fifth. So I want to take over one hotel and I'll make more money than I'm making now. So then they all agreed to make chalukah. So when they make the chalukah, they say, ha'achm shecholku, they don't need a kinyan to become the sole owner of this hotel and he should own that hotel. But do you even need das makna? Or do you just need haskama to make a chalukah? So that's what Rav Chaim explained. That's the machloikas. If you hold yesh breira, you say the din of Yerusha, the din of Yerusha that the bailus goes over to the Yerushim, brokara davur. You don't, the kinyan is chal bal korcha of the Irish. So even by chalukah also, the kinyan is chal bal korcha. Yes, they have to agree to the chalukah, either to draw a lottery or to make a reasonable chalukah that they'll all agree to. Once they agree to the chalukah, then the ownership goes over bal korcha. Because I say, who brought over my friend? That was oimed lakach at the time of death. But we pass him with respect to dinam deraisa. Ain't brave. So we don't say who brought over the mafre. So therefore, there will be a need for das makne later when they make a chalukah. So that's what we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Achim shecholku lukuchasim. You don't say yorshim heim. You say lukuchasim. That what? That you need a das makne to convert it instead of the whole estate belonging to all the five brothers together. The one hotel belongs to me. The one hotel belongs to each one owns one hotel and so on. That needs a das makne. So that's called achim shecholku alukuchasim. And a lokeach is not called a stei achuza. When the father had it, it was a stei achuza. When the father died and the five brothers owned it, well, the hotel in Italy and in Spain, that's not Eretz Yisrael. That's not going to be a stei achuza. That's not chayza b'yovel. The only thing that's chayza b'yovel is the hotel in Eretz Yisrael. So if you get the hotel in Eretz Yisrael, so when the father owned it, it was a stei achuza. When the father died, it was still a stei achuza. It was owned by all five, tfusas habayis, all five together. But then, achim shecholku, when they made the chalukah, since we paskin bid deraisa, with respect to dinim deraisa, ein breira. So you can't say it was oimed lekach, it was metchila, it was oimed lekach. At the moment of death, that I'm going to get this and he's going to get that. So therefore, there's no need for a maisa kinyan, but you need a das makna. So since you need a das makna, so therefore lukuchasim, achashchok lukuchas, it's not a stay achuza, it's a stay mitnah. So when it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you revert back again. And then there's a machloikas hatanoim. Once you assume like that, there's a machloikas hatanoim. What do you mean? Lukuchasim. Machzir and zelazad b'yovel. You draw lots all over again. You draw lots all over again. And it may turn out that he'll get a different. Let's say the first time we didn't divide up with a haskama. If the first time it was a logical haskama, I live in Italy, he lives in Spain, he lives in Jerusalem. So it makes sense. So each one should get the hotel that he lives nearby. So if the first time it was only based on a hagrola, a lottery, so this time when it comes to Kippur, you make a hagrola all over again. That's how some Rishonim say, make a hagrola all over again. What do you say? No, you give back the hotel to the other brothers and then you get it back afterwards. Just afyotze tzayin, the din of sadas chosus lebalem b'yovo. Just for a moment, you give it back and then you get back the exact same hotel that belonged to you all along. So this is, the Marshal points out that this is a big machlekes harishayim, the Rambam and other rishayim. What does it mean? Machzirim zel ozebi yovel. You'd make a new hagrola all over again. If the first time they did it without a girl, the first time when the father died, they made a chaluk with a haskamas kulam. Because he lives in Spain, he lives in France. That makes sense. So if it made sense 5 years ago, it was going to make sense now again. So they make the same chalukah now. But if it didn't make sense from day number one, it was done through hagrola. So it means now you make a new hagrola all over again. And each one may turn out to win a different hotel. Well, it doesn't mean no. Machzirim zelazebi yovel af yoytzit tzayin the din of sardes chosus lebalein biyovel. But then I get back the same hotel that I had in the first place. So that's a further machlekes harishayim. How to understand the details of the din of Rabbi Yechon. But Rabbi Yechon's din is based on the assumption that ein breira, and therefore hachmish chokhu alukuches. You don't say yesh breira, you say ein breira. Hachmish chokhu eni das makna, and that's why lukuches aim. So therefore machzirim zala zabiyot. Let me say just a brief Dvar Torah on the Sedra. We still didn't finish. Okay, we'll have to learn some more. After we finish this Perek, I'd like to go back to the first Perek, because the practice that we have, the institution of Mechiras Chometz, is based on the practice that they had for centuries, Mechiras Behema HaMevakeres. When a farmer has a Behema Torah that's about to give birth, so Bizman HaMikdash, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. You give it to the Kohen brings it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, and he eats it. But Bizman HaZeh, you have to wait till it gets a mum. You're not allowed to make the mum yourself. So that can take forever. So the practice is, there's a big Tosfos on Gimel on the Beis. So the practice is that you sell a shutvus to the Nochri, and that takes off the whole din of Bechor Behemet Torah. So I'd like to... And when we do Mechiras Chometz, we make six kinyonim. Why do we make six kinyonim? Because it's all based on Gemaris and the first perik and the beginning of the second perik. So that's halacha l'maaseh. I'd like to cover that. But we're not there yet. Okay, we're not there yet. This coming Matzoy Shabbos, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael for a week. Many are celebrating. It's the 75th anniversary of Hakamas HaMedina. So I won't be in America. I won't be able to give the shiur next week. But the week after B'tzoyis Hashem, I'd like to complete this perek and then start again the first perek. But now, before we finish, I'd like to just say a short vater on the parasha. Parashas Tazria Metzora has about different people who are tamei. In order to become tohar, what do? So sometimes they just go to the mikveh and they become tohar. Sometimes you have to wait shiva nikim and then you go to the mikveh. Okay. And sometimes that's not enough. If a person is a tamei meis, he cannot be mitar himself all on his own. He's a tohar al tamei. He needs an adam tohar to be mazeh nei par aduma water. You have ashes from the par aduma. You pour a little bit of the ash, one speck of ash into a big barrel of water. And then you can be mazeh that water on many people. Azor shlishi shvi. So you need the assistance of someone else to help you become tohar. Sometimes a person is a metzora. Also, he needs other people to help him also to be mitire him. So he needs assistance from other people. And then sometimes there are four things that are makabel tuma, od mekelim ochlem amashkim. So od mekelim have tara b'mikveh, except for klicheres, has no tara b'mikveh. And ochlem amashkim have no tara b'mikveh. Rashi always says, what do you mean, mashkim have no tar b'mikveh, but there's a din of hashtroke. If you have mayim that are tamei, you have a container full of water, it's tamei, you lower it into a mikveh, and there's a hashtroke, some of the water in the container is touching the water in the mikveh, then you take it out a second later, that's called hashtroke, and the water becomes tohar. The hashtroke is matar. Isn't that tefillah in a mikveh? So every time the Gemara talks about Hashoka, Rashi always goes out of his way to explain, no, because Eichel Mamashkim have no Tara b'mikveh, and Hashoka is not a din of Tfilah b'mikveh, Hashoka is a din of Zriya. Let's say I have an apple that's tummy. If I plant the apple on the ground and it takes root, once it has Hashrasha, once it takes root, so that's a Zriya, so then it becomes Tohar. So the same over here, there's a pasuk with Zareh Mayim al Pnei Chutzos. When you have water that's tummy and you pour it into a puddle that's on the ground, it's considered as if you did zriya, and that's why it's tohar. It's not because it has tar b'mikveh. It doesn't have water. Doesn't have tar b'mikveh either. And the other mashkim, there's no din of hashoka on either. Water is a din of zriya. Zareya mayim al pnei chutzos. So you have from the four things that have a kabel tumah. All the mekelim have tefillah b'mikveh except for klicheres. Klicheres has no tar b'mikveh. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out is based on psukim in Tanakh and Novi a lot of times and psukim in Chumash like that. That the idea of tumah sometimes represents chet, a person does averis. So sometimes a person did averis and he has the ability to pull himself out to do tshuva all by himself. He goes to the mikveh and he's matar. Sometimes he's so mushrush into the chet, he can't do tshuva without someone else giving him assistance. He needs v'hiza tohar al atami by atami meis. He needs someone else has to help you to be maza on you, or you have to have a koyin do this, do the tahara procedure to be matar the mitzera. And sometimes, if you have a klicheres, the tumah gets as if it's absorbed into the klicheres through and through, and there's no way to shake off the tumah. The only way to get rid of the tumah is shvira, if you break it. So it's no longer a kli. In order to be mekabel tumah, it has to have a din kli. In order to retain the din tumah, it has to have a shem kli. So if you smash it, then it's no longer a kli. It can't retain the tumah. But the klicheres has no tar b'mikveh at all. So sometimes people do such averes that it's impossible for them to do tshuva. The Rambam talks about the menias hatshuva and the actual slave Paroi. Paro had sinned so much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give him the ability to do tshuva. Some people do slight averis, even serious averis, but they can pull themselves out from the blood. They can do tshuva on their own. Other people are such bali aver, they can only do tshuva with the assistance of someone else who's going to be mekarev of them. And other people are like a klicheres, that does not try to do tshuva. That's what the Nesivis interprets in the Gemara and Brochus. The Bruya Eishes Rav Meir made a comment. Rav Meir was cursing the Rishoyim who lived in his neighborhood. He said they should all drop dead. So Bruya Eishes Rav Meir said that's not the right attitude to have. The Pasuk says, Yitamu chatoim ha'noetz chatoim v'lo chotim. So what does it mean? So the Nesivis has a sefer that's called Nachlas Yaakov. It's drushes on Parshios, has paid them, and it has a few tshuvas by the Nesivis and by a grandson of the Nesivis, Nachlas Yaakov. So this was one of the things they told us that Rabbi Elbel Soloveitchik used to quote this from the Nesivis. What's the pshat yitamu chatoim v'lo chotim? Sometimes a person is a sinner, and sometimes he's so mushrush in aveira, he becomes a physical embodiment of the concept of sin. Like Dobin HaMelech says, ani tfilah. Or ani shalom, ani shalom means ani ish shalom. I am a physical embodiment of the concept of shalom. Ani tefillah means ani ish tefillah. He davened so much, he was a physical representation of the idea of tefillah. So there's a choite and there's a chato. Itamu chatoim means those people are like klicheres, that they, it's impossible, it will be impossible for them to do tshuva. The sar ein gevurzelt in the chet, there's no way for them to become tohar. So they should drop that. That's yitamu chatoim. It does mean averi should disappear. The word chata means people, the sinners, but it's only people who are so hard crusted sinners that there's like a klicheres that the tumah permeates through and through, and no tefillah and a mikvah is going to help at all. So that's yitama chatoin. But if a person is a chayte, he does averes, but he didn't become a physical representation, an embodiment of the concept of chet. Hitler was a chata. Most people are chaytim, so you don't curse them. In the Shemoneh Esrei, there are two different brachas. He says, "Shivein abinu tzarsel kaveinu malkeinu la'avodah secha." We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help all of the sinners do tshuva. And then we say, "V'lam al-shinim," they should all drop dead. So when is it? So the answer is, that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, based on a whole section in Sefer Yirmiyah, where Yirmiyah talks about some of the sinners are like klicheres, and some of the sinners are like klishetef, that you can be tovel them in a mikveh, like klimatechos, like a wooden kelim, you can be tovel in a mikveh. So if it's a hardcore sinner, then he's a chata. Then we say, v'lam al-shinim, they should all drop dead. But Hashvein Avinu Tzarasecha, that goes on all the chaytim, even the people who sin. They should all be able to do tshuva. The idea of tahara by kelim that are tameh, by people are tameh, represents the idea of tshuva. And the klicheres that's permeated through and through, but there's no way to be metairet, that represents the idea that sometimes people get themselves so involved in chet that they become a physical embodiment of the concept of chet, that it's not shaykh for them to do tshuva. No, should all be zecha to do tshuva. So again, this coming Monday, my plans are now that I'll be in Eretz Yisrael. I won't be able to give this year, but the Monday after we will continue, we'll finish the end of the perek. We're almost by the end, and then we'll go back to the first perek to see what is the background of the idea of making a shutvis with an akum. Is that permissible? That's what we call in English a legal fiction. In Hebrew, we call it ha'arama. Do we allow ha'arama? When do we allow ha'arama? When do we not allow ha'arama? That's a serious topic. That was a big shaila by the Shnas HaShemitah. Even the Heta Mechira that they instituted in the 1600s. That's a harama. Is that permissible? You sell the land to a Nochri, and the Mele, you don't have to observe the laws of Shemitah. Is that permissible or not? When do we permit harama? Mechira's Chametz is a harama, and we do allow it. That's the first tshuva in the Nachlas Yaakov. The first tshuva by the Nesivis and the collection of tshuvas. He was the one who allowed Mechiras Chametz. And the Rav from B'Church sent him a letter. It's against our Yerushalmi. So he says, go fly a kite. Don't bother me with your Yerushalmi. We pass him like the Bavli. Harama is Muta. So that's a big discussion. When is Harama Muta? When is Harama Asa? So, Belina, the next time we'll get together, we'll have to start that topic. Okay. Should all be well.
Amen. Shkar. Thank you.
Rabbi, does the Harama of Mechiras Chametz, is that governed by Dina de Malchusa?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah. Has to be approved by the government. If it's not recognized by the government, then it's not valid. Yeah.
Rabbi Shechter, your discussion of Lekucho saying, and you gave a marshal of having five hotels, four in Chuslords and one in Eretz Yisrael. How would that work in terms of the four hotels in Chuslords? It has nothing to do with the stay in Chuslords.
Yeah, it does mean that he loses. It does mean that the one in Eretz Yisrael loses and the others gain. They'll have to figure it out. It has to be an equal division. If the one who got the hotel in Eretz Yisrael has to give it back, what do you mean? Whom do you give it back to? You give it back to the other one, then you take it back again yourself. That's what some Rishonim say. Everybody gives everything back, then he takes it back again. Takes it back again, the same way it was before. That's what the Mashal quotes. Some say, it's just a fietzit design, the Hachzoras Sadas, and everybody takes back the same hotel that he had before. Okay.
Have a good trip.